Apple CEO Tim Cook making an East Coast appearance Tuesday to announce a refresh to Mac computers and the iPad Pro.
Thank you.
He's trying to breathe new life into the aging product lines after they've faded further out of the spotlight compared to the still hugely successful money-making iPhone.
The world's tallest statue, standing 240 meters high, making it double the size of the Statue of Liberty. It cost around $420 million and used 700 tons of iron. The Statue of Unity has been built in a remote area of Gujarat, home state of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
Investors are filling up on BP stock after the oil giant more than doubled its profits. Quarterly earnings surged to a five-year high of $3.8 billion. The numbers boosted by higher oil prices. Analysts say cost-cutting also paid off. In a sign of confidence, BP says it now plans to finance a big acquisition with cash.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's October the 31st, 5:11 in the morning. Happy Halloween to all of you. We appreciate you tuning in this morning for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today. Coming up in just a few seconds, we'll bring in our first guest. We'll talk about a new app called Bark. Lots of parents out there trying to keep tabs on what their kids are doing on text messages and other apps and social media and YouTube. We'll talk about the effort to help parents control some of that. And it may be as simple as an app. Again, Bark coming up in our first segment this morning. A little bit later on in the broadcast at about 5:40 this morning, we will turn our focus to Wall Street. Shiraz Mian will be here. This is from Zacks Equity Research. We'll talk about some of expectations for earnings season. A couple of companies in particular we'll focus on, like Amazon and Google. Shiraz will be here in our second segment this morning at about 5:40. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk with futures in the U.S. pointing toward opening gains later on Wall Street. Dow futures are up more than a third this morning at 95 points. NASDAQ futures are up nearly three-quarters. S&P futures up nearly a half a percent. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally higher in Europe, with the FTSE up more than a percent and a third. The DAX is up more than a percent. And the CAC in France is up almost 2% this morning. In Asia, markets are generally in the green as well. The Nikkei is going to end the day up nearly 2%, 463 points. The Shanghai is up nearly a percent and a third. And the Hang Seng is up nearly 394 points. It's going to be more than a percent and a half for the close there. Oil is at $66.51 a barrel, which is up about 33 cents. A couple of stories this morning before we begin with our first segment. The Pacific Rim Trade Pact, abandoned by President Trump, will take effect at the year's end after New Zealand became the sixth nation to ratify it. The New Zealand government says the trade arrangement, the comprehensive and progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, will take effect on December 30th. The 11 nations remaining after the U.S. withdrawal in early 27 amended the pact to enable it to take effect even without the participation of the world's biggest economy, the U.S. Federal prosecutors say Chinese intelligence officers and hackers working for them have been charged with commercial espionage that included trying to steal information on commercial jet engines. Prosecutors say the indictments announced yesterday include officers working with the foreign intelligence arm of China's Ministry of State. And Facebook beat profit estimates, but there are cause for concern in the earnings report that was released yesterday. Social media giant missed the target for growing monthly users and reported its slowest revenue growth in almost 6 years. Investors are getting anxious that more social media defections could hurt future profits. Front and center this morning, a new app for parents proactively monitors text messages, email, things like YouTube and social media for potential safety concerns impacting kids. We thought we would take this opportunity this morning to size up Bark like a dog. And Titiana Jordan is with us this morning to talk about it. She's the chief parenting officer at Bark. Titiana, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, no problem.
Yeah. We appreciate you being here with us this morning. Give us a sense of the app, why it's a needed tool in today's climate.
Sure, yeah. So BARC is technology that keeps children safer online, and because of that, in real life. We protect close to 2 million children across the nation now, and our algorithms and our alerts have helped to prevent 15 school shootings, and 34 families have written in to tell us that because of a BARC alert, their child's life was saved. So it's pretty impactful, and what it's actually doing is that it's analyzing social media, email, text messages for signs of cyberbullying, sexting, thoughts of suicide and depression, potential drug use, and online predators. And when it finds those scary instances, it will send an alert via text or email to parents and schools that are connected to BARC so that you can take action and give you best recommended next steps.
Is this a tool that you monitor specifically your kids, or does it monitor all of these areas for just general threats in general related to where you're located?
It's child specific. So let's say, you know, I have a 13-year-old, I have a 9-year-old, but say I have a 13-year-old who's on Snapchat, Instagram, texts with friends, has an iPhone, browses the internet. I would sign up for BARC, connect the device and those different accounts, and then the algorithm would run in the background and alert when issues are found.
And so this is, you know, oftentimes we hear kids are a lot smarter than adults, and they try to outsmart adults. This sophisticated enough to beat even the kids?
It is. And, you know, full disclosure, no technology is 100% foolproof. You know what I mean? We are a complement. We are a parenting tool, but we're certainly not going to take precedence over a solid relationship with your child and having continuous, open, and honest conversations about their tech use and what is going on with their peers.
You mentioned that it had stopped school shootings. That seems to be worth its weight in gold just by itself. How does it do that? You mentioned that it has an algorithm. Is it just looking for certain phrases or words or things like that?
Not only is our algorithm looking for certain phrases and keywords, it's using conversational analysis. So it can tell the difference between somebody typing KMS because they maybe tripped and are embarrassed. KMS stands for kill myself. That's not going to trigger a BARC alert because it's not a true sentiment. But if they are depressed and they type KMS to a friend that they, you know, are trying to end things, then that would trigger a BARC alert. And so going back to the school shooting instances, you know, not only is it text, but it's photographs, it's video, it's audio, it's text overlay. And let's give a concrete example. In one instance in a school in the Northeast, one child had written on the bathroom wall, "Don't come to school tomorrow, bang, bang." Another child had taken a Snapchat photo of that message. The BARC algorithm, because it was connected to that child's Snapchat account, was able to alert the parent to that problematic message, and then the parent was able to call the school, and then the school was able to take action.
That is very cool, especially in a situation where some of these apps, they take pictures and share pictures, and then they delete them immediately, and they're gone. This catches that in the instant, then.
That's correct. You know, children are communicating online. We know that. Children are spending upwards of 9 hours a day on internet-connected devices. And, you know, young children, you know, as young as two on their parents' iPads, and children are also getting social media at younger and younger ages. I mean, there are fifth graders on Snapchat and Instagram, and we are not here to judge parents. Every parent has to make their own decision when it comes to their family's technology use. But we are here to educate parents and protect children. So they need to know about the dangers that are really happening on these social networks. They need to know about the current landscape of children and what they're talking about and how prevalent cyberbullying really is and how, for example, sexting is the new first base. You would not believe, you know, just the landscape of children, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, asking to send each other nudes. It's really shocking, but once you know, you can take action, and you can talk to your children in a candid way.
Titani, we were talking earlier about just how all of this works, and I'm struck by these days how YouTube seems to be a place where a lot of kids are getting in trouble and seeing a lot of things that they are not supposed to. I've heard from a lot of folks that that is one of the biggest, hardest areas to police their kids, but this works with that as well.
That's correct. Yeah, it's YouTube is the primary destination for kids on the internet, and most kids now spend more time on YouTube than they do in front of TV, movies, and even streaming services like Netflix. So, you know, and I'm guilty of doing this too, because I have a 9-year-old. You know, it's really easy to hand your kid an iPad or mobile phone and just let them kind of zone out for a little bit on what seems like a pretty safe video on YouTube.
Yeah.
But with, you know, like millions and millions of videos being uploaded every minute. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. There's so much content that's always being uploaded. The way for YouTube employees to monitor that and actually make sure it's safe, it's impossible. And there are scary and inappropriate things falling through the cracks. We recently saw a video that was just, looked like a pretty safe cartoon. In the middle of the cartoon, around the 4-minute mark, where most parents would have tuned out, there's a man that comes on and instructs children on the best way to cut their wrists in order to achieve maximum effect if they're trying to take their own life. Then he walks off and the cartoon resumes. It's chilling. It's absolutely chilling.
You're pretty close on the number. I think it's about 400 hours of content that's uploaded every minute to YouTube. So that's a number.
That's the stat. That's the stat I was looking for.
That's a lot. I don't know if it's a million or not, but that's a lot. talk to us a little bit about the overall strategy here. Obviously, Bark is part of the solution, but how important is it for parents to come up with a real strategy that includes, you know, talking to your kids, having a plan of action, having that communication that's open between you and your kids?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for asking. I mean, it's paramount. You know, you would not give your child the keys to the car without driving lessons, nor would you let them drive it without a seatbelt. You don't send them to the pool or the beach without sunscreen. You know, for Pete's sakes, do not give them a device that can access the world and the internet 24/7, 365 without conversations, without awareness, and without a monitoring tool like Bark. Because it's a world. It's a whole new world. It's like letting them loose at the mall and not coming back for a few hours, you know, when they're 4 years old. I mean, it's just, it's terrifying, and I just don't think parents realize the dangers, myself included. I'm still learning new things every day, and I don't think parents realize how easy it is to take measures that will keep their children safer online. So whether it's the built-in controls that are free that the device or your cable service provider or internet service provider or cell phone service provider bakes into their products, you know, Google those, call your representative, let them walk you through things like setting up, you know, PINs and restricted access to next level monitoring like Bark that will actually analyze the content and what is going on. It's actually not that hard. It's not that scary, even for people who aren't tech savvy. And so you just have to be aware and then take action.
Let's talk about the pricing for this. What does the pricing look like? How many kids can it cover? What if you have a big family? What are the particulars of that?
Sure. So Bark is $9 per family per month. So if you have 2 children or 20 children, same price. It's unlimited connected accounts, unlimited devices. So, you know, for people who pay for an Apple Music subscription or, you know, subscribe to Netflix, this is less than that. And then for schools, Bark is absolutely free. I'd really like to give that a plug because after the event at Parkland last February, we realized that our algorithm could protect children at school as well as at home because, you know, schools are giving children Chromebooks and iPads, et cetera. And so we rolled Bark for Schools out February of last year. It's absolutely free. And now there's over 700 districts that use Bark across the nation. So if you're a parent, it's $9 per family per month. If you're a school, it's 100% free.
Good stuff. We appreciate you being with us this morning, Titania. Bark.us is the website, and this is available on iOS and Android. Anything else people should know before we let you go this morning?
Just thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're trying to figure out what's the best first step, if you're on Facebook, you can go to Facebook and search for Parenting in a Tech World. It's a private Facebook group of over 12,000 parents, and you can ask all your techie parenting questions there.
All right, great. Well, again, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Titania Jordan, the Chief Parenting Officer at BARC. Again, an online monitoring tool for parents keeping kids safe online. BARC.us is their main website.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke, Senior Editor at Chicago Inno, with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio. A rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, presented by the 1871 Momentum Awards. Roam, a new payment app for nightlife and hospitality venues, is expanding to Chicago. Roam lets users pay for food and drinks directly from their smartphones, eliminating the need to wait or catch a bartender's attention. And Backstop Solutions, a Chicago financial software maker, has raised $20 million in new funding. The company makes software for institutional investors like universities and pension funds. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. As we look at the markets this morning, lots of green on the screen for this Halloween after some turbulent days, recent days. We're also digesting a lot of earnings information. We thought we'd bring in Shiraz Mian this morning, Director of Research over at Zacks Equity Research. Shiraz, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I was reading one of your latest reports. You were talking about the earnings reports that we're seeing misses by the likes of Amazon and even Alphabet. And you have an interesting take on what we're seeing here. Give us a sense of what you've been writing about.
So the earnings picture, Steve, has been very strong for the last few quarters. And coming into this earnings season, the main question was if that trend continued in Q3 and could be expected to continue into Q4. And by and large, the answer to that question has been yes, but some reports in some pockets of the market have raised questions about the outlook, and that those reports, you mentioned Amazon, Google, and many other companies, they weren't able to beat revenue estimates. Many other companies had relatively weaker guidance for Q4 and beyond. And these negative reports are feeding into this narrative of the cycle coming to an end, the economic cycle, and the growth outlook for the coming quarters being at risk of a downward adjustment and revision. And it's this uncertainty that's been adding to the turmoil in the market.
It's interesting because you write that had we been in a normal market environment, the modest revenue misses from these companies would have been shrugged off. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at the overall growth rates for Amazon and Google, Amazon's revenues were up close to 30%. Google's revenues were up close to 22%. There is so much to applaud in those earnings reports, and that's what I'm referring to. These are huge companies, not startups. For someone the like of Amazon or Google to be able to increase their top line 30% or 20% at this stage in the economic cycle is a very, very impressive showing. And for the market to come around and punish those companies for those types of growth is what I was referring to as not normal. And the reason they are not normal and the reason why the market was, quote-unquote, punishing them is because the market is worried about the coming quarters, not so much performance in Q3.
Yeah, and that's the forward guidance that we often talk about. Some of these companies had some concerning forward guidance. Talk to us a little bit about that. And are we paying too much attention to that part of the report of earnings?
That is very important, Steve. We always need to pay more attention to forward guidance because, after all, the market is a forward-looking mechanism, and it's trying to discount expectations for the coming periods. So many of these companies, Caterpillar, 3M, including Amazon and many others, they had less than reassuring commentary for the December quarter, also for 2019. And if the earnings outlook for those periods is not as strong as what we had been seeing in the recent past, then perhaps prices needed to adjust lower. And that's the reason why we've been seeing a lot more volatility and weakness in the market.
You mentioned the level of earnings. I think we have earnings in for almost half of the companies on the S&P 500. Total earnings for the 239 companies up 23.2% from the same period last year, 9.2% higher revenues. 77% of them beat the earnings per share estimates, 60 beating revenue estimates. By any other characterizations, those are home runs, aren't they?
They are. It's a very, very impressive showing, particularly when you look at how long it has been since this economic cycle started back in 2009. The market is aware that a big part of the very strong growth we are seeing in Q3 results is from the tax cuts that took effect at the beginning of the year. There is some deceleration relative to the pace we saw in the first half of the year and what is expected in the fourth quarter. And as I mentioned earlier, the actual performance for Q3, even for companies that the market wasn't very impressed with, were very strong. And you rightly characterized them as home runs. So, yes, they are very strong.
Shiraz, moving forward, do we focus, if we're investors, do we keep looking at some of the companies like Amazon and Google for places to invest? Or do we look at places like, for instance, yesterday, McDonald's was one of the overperformers yesterday, along with Boeing and Goldman Sachs. Is it this that we just shift our attention from one area to another?
I think that's a very good observation, Steve. The likes of Amazon and Google have been in demand, and everybody has been chasing them. So even though prices for these in demand, what many in the market call as the FANG stocks, have come down, by many measures, they are still expensive or not cheap. But the likes of you mentioned McDonald's. There's many other blue chips that are doing extremely well, and it's good for investors to diversify, to have these tried and tested so-called old economy stocks that have impressive performances. They pay good dividends too. And it's a good practice to diversify. I wouldn't suggest that investors run away from these FANG and technology stocks too. They still have very impressive and strong growth momentum, and valuations, while still stretched and high, are a lot more reasonable than they have been in the recent past.
I'm sensing that as we look forward maybe into your crystal ball, you are optimistic about how the future is shaping, or no? Do you have concerns, or are you still optimistic?
So there are concerns on the trade front, concerns about international growth, concerns about how quick or otherwise the Fed tightening cycle will be, but the overall fundamental backdrop for the market remains very favorable. When I look at the market as a whole, the S&P 500 is currently trading at levels last seen this time 3 years ago. Now, if we look back 3 years ago, a lot of market-friendly actions have taken place since then, including the tax cuts, including deregulation. So either the market is dirt cheap or estimates for the coming periods are very high. And from my analysis of estimates for the coming period, even though I acknowledge they need to come down a little bit, I don't think they are too high. So I quite reasonably reached the conclusion that valuations have become a lot more reasonable. And with October now behind us and we're getting to the holiday season, I think stocks are in a good place for going up at this later part of the year.
All right. Good stuff, Shiraz. Always good chatting with you. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Glad to be with you, Steve.
Shiraz Mian is the director of research at Zacks Equity Research. He manages the equity research department there. Gets lots of good information at Zacks.com from Shiraz on a daily basis if you're an investor.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures up more than 0.5%. NASDAQ futures up more than 1%. S&P futures up about 0.75%. Now, agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Red screen day for agriculture commodities yesterday at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. Soybeans hitting a low we haven't seen in months, and that was because of harvest weather progress. Corn traded lower, wheat traded lower, and in livestock trade yesterday, live hogs, the October or the December cattle and the November feeder cattle all ended the trading session lower yesterday. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, October 31st. We'll get a look at mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The ADP Employment Report is due out and the Employment Cost Index. Also the Chicago PMI and the EIA Petroleum Status Report. Another big day for earnings. Allstate, Anthem, Yum Brands, Dine Brands, Express Scripts, Clorox, General Motors, Fitbit, Pandora, and NXP Semiconductors, all reporting quarterly earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, October the 31st.